Good morning. Isn't that great? We are the church, eh? Yeah, I've got water there. We are the hope on earth. Isn't that amazing? What an honor, what a privilege that we have in that. Today, we're continuing on in... Do I sound really loud? Yeah. Can you hear me, Tom? Somebody get some Q-tips. Today, I'm going to talk about metamorphosis again. This is part 13. And the title of this message is, What Does a Transformed Life Look Like? And before I actually talk about what it actually looks like, I'll look at what it doesn't look like. But my desire this morning, and this is my prayer, that the Word of God would be received into our hearts this morning so that we can know and experience the freedom and liberty we have in Jesus Christ and live the life that He's called all of us to live. And that's so important because someone mentioned about on Wednesday nights, you know, and it's... What was that? Am I doing something? On Wednesday nights, you know, when not all of us are here, we're actually missing something. You know, as much as the Wednesday nights have been incredible, but when anyone is missing that, we're missing the gift that you are in this body. And I don't say that in a way to put pressure on you, but I just want to say we're all important here. God is... brought you here for a plan and a purpose. And that's why, you know, we are the church here in this location, in this city, in this province. It's all of us doing that. That just was added on. But as Christians, our lives are often very different than what most of us think our lives are going to be. Because many of us are more influenced by the culture that we live in than by the kingdom culture that we're supposed to live in. Today in Canada, we don't see much evidence of the church's effectiveness in our communities. And it's not because we don't want to. We simply have not been listening to how the Bible says that we should be living. Culture and religious thinking have shaped the postmodern church more than the Word of God. And when we're talking about a transformed life, again, we go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a transformation that comes by the renewing of our mind. That's how we become transformed, by the Word of God that comes into our hearts and minds and changes us. Scripture reminds us in Romans 1:28 that because of man's rejection, it talks about man's rejection of God, that rather than wanting the knowledge of God, the preference was just to live whatever way that they wanted to. And it says that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Now, it's interesting because that word depraved in the Greek means not standing the test. It means to fail the test, rejected, worthless, and unapproved. So when we talk about a depraved mind, it's a mind that's failed the test. It's a mind that's not working the way that it should work. And if any of you have had to do a safety test on your car and it fails, it means that that vehicle is not operating the way it was designed to operate. And in the same way, a deprived mind is one that is not operating in the way that God designed it to operate. See, and we've heard this before, the battle is in our mind. The enemy will do whatever he can to mess it up with lies and deception. You know, when I was preparing over the last few days, and I was quite pleased because, you know, usually I'm preparing right down to the last minute. But by mid-afternoon, Janine was asking me, so how's it going? Oh, it's really good. I got it basically done. I'm just having to change it a little bit. I actually felt so comfortable. I thought I'll go outside. I'll weed whip. And, you know, then around about 9:30, it's funny how God tests you. in the area where you're going to be speaking into. And all of a sudden, it's like God became my editor and went through my notes, and I'm going through it, and I started to panic. And so Janine came in and said, "So how's it going, honey?" Needless to say, my mind was slightly depraved in the sense it was not thinking well because I was panicking about what am I going to do. I can laugh about it right now, but last night, and you know, and actually the whole dynamic in the family that yesterday evening was being severely tested. I mean, Jess, they were asking her, because most of the people at City Gates, a lot of them in leadership and in worship, are up north where Mark is, and I guess they were short musicians, so they asked if Jess was available. So, you know, she's ministering there, and Jonathan's doing stuff in kids' church today, and it just seems we're all, which is good, we're all working and we're actually doing things in the life of the church, and then just all of a sudden, you know, this mind begins to think in a way that God doesn't want us to think. And the reality is that it happens. As I said, the enemy will take every opportunity to mess our minds up with lies and deception, so that in those moments that it happens, we need to know God's truth, not the wisdom of the world. In Matthew 13 or 16:23, we know it because it's a scene where Jesus is describing to his disciples that he's going to be arrested, he's going to be brought to jail, he's going to be beaten, tortured, and crucified on the cross. And we know what Peter's reaction to this. "No, Lord, you know, this isn't going to happen." So we know how Jesus responded. He didn't say, did he say, "Now, Peter, you don't really understand, do you?" No, he rebuked him. He said, you know, "Get behind me, Satan." And he says these words, he says, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And this is Peter. I feel encouraged that Peter, who spent 3 years with the Lord, but yet there's that element of wrong thinking that's always kind of there in the shadows. And we have to be prepared when that comes, and the only way that we can do that is with the Word of God. Philippians 2:14-15 says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blindless and pure, children of God without a fault in a warped and crooked generation." Those words, warped and crooked, is the same Greek word that mean deprived. But the good thing is, it goes on to say, "in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." You see, the reality is that's the kind of world that we're living in. But we have an opportunity to shine like stars in the universe with the word of life. Thank you, God, that we are the church, and that we bring the hope of salvation, of reconciliation to this world. See, when we take in this mindset of, that is, a depraved mind, that is a mind that's not operating the way that it should, we allow the world that we live in to have more influence on us than the Word of God. And that's always a danger. And I think that's why this message on metamorphosis is so important. Because, guys, I know what it's like. You know, we sometimes live more in the world than we do in the kingdom culture. And we sometimes put importance on things that we shouldn't. And we begin to view things the way the world views them. And before we know it, we start adopting those things. And we justify them. Last night, I found myself trying to justify my action. How lame is that? But that's what happened when your mind is not thinking the way that it should. A mind that is not... No, I'm sorry. Let me start first with going through Romans 12 again, 1 and 2. Where Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. It doesn't say, you shouldn't be conformed. It's very emphatic. You can underline that when you see it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So that in testing, so that when we get testing, we can respond out of a renewed mind, not of a mind that's not working the way that it should. You see, a mind that is not renewed by the Word of God cannot know the things of God. Therefore, when we're still living one foot in God and one foot in the world, our mind cannot work that way. We're going to be confused. We're going to struggle with things because we're actually of two minds. We're double-minded. James 1, I think it is, talks about double-mindedness. We're not to be double-minded. We have the mind of Christ in us. And we're to think as He thinks. If you just think of the parable, just think for a moment, the parable of the prodigal son. And we all know it well. And we have the son, it says that he finally came to his senses. Do you think maybe there was a problem there with his thinking when he decided to do what he did? But it said he came to his senses and he realized, this isn't working for me too well. So he decided, and it's this wonderful picture of salvation, really. Going back home, his father's running to him, embracing him, a wonderful picture of Jesus and our Father embracing us. And what does he do? He brings him in. And just think, he must have been just dirty, filthy, stinking, probably nothing on his feet, covered in mud, just a mess. So what does his father do? His father calls his servants and he says, bring him a new robe, put sandals on his feet, and a ring on his finger. That's the picture of what happens when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now what would you think if for a moment, give me a little bit of license here, but if somehow behind all of that new robe and those new clothes, that prodigal son still kept those old stinky smelly clothes on that, we'd say, that's crazy. And it is. But sometimes the reality is that's what we do. We take those old things with us. But in those times, we need to remember what Scripture says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, is therefore it says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. See, I think sometimes we struggle in life because we bring these things with us. Because often we see, or we fail to see, the presence of God in our lives. And so we're actually struggling in our faith. It's our faith that we're struggling in. But we need to remember that when we accept Christ in our lives, we're a new creation. The old is gone. I'm sure when that prodigal son came, that the father told the servants, take those old clothes and burn them. Because that's what we're to do. Take that old way of living and leave it behind. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires because it's not thinking right. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is such an important truth that we need to embrace. If we're going to be the church here, our minds cannot be confused. Our minds need to be renewed, need to be transformed by the Word of God. Let's be very clear that Christianity, or being a follower of Jesus, is not a lifestyle, but it's a choice. And it's a death, a life and death choice. And hopefully everyone here has chosen life. But so often, you know, the world just keeps on creeping in. And we allow the pressures, the problems, the heartaches of life come in. Sometimes we think all we really need to do is, well, I'm a Christian and Jesus has saved me and I'm going to heaven. But He's not just our Savior, He's our Lord. It's all about the Lordship of Christ in our lives. We can't have a renewed mind if He's not Lord in our life. Because to mean Lord means to put Him first. It means to leave behind the old things and look to Him as the source of truth in our lives. Sometimes we think it's, as long as I come to church on a Sunday and maybe the odd Wednesday, that's good enough. But it doesn't work that way. If you're not filling yourself with the Word of God, if you're not washing yourself with the Word of God, then the culture of this day is going to have more influence on your life than God will be. We need to wash our mind with His Word. We need to know what He says about things. Otherwise, we're confused. We make the wrong decisions. We start justifying our actions when we know that they're not right. But we forget about what God's truth is and we start believing the lie. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. That's all he can do, is get you to believe the lie. But I want to encourage you this morning. You need to be in the Word. Jesus needs to be Lord 7 days a week, 24/7, not just when it's convenient. And I can say that to you because I've tried to do that way, live differently, and it doesn't work. It brings frustration. It's actually worse when you're a Christian. At least the unregenerated mind, the unborn mind, doesn't know any better. But we do, and we're fighting constantly. You know, it's like those movies, you know, we have the little devil here on one side and the good guy here, and they're just whispering, and it's just driving you crazy. Because your mind is not working properly. It needs to be renewed, transformed, our lives transformed by the renewing of our minds. For Ephesians 8:5-8, says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness." That's pretty clear. Stay away from it. Run away from it. "But rather, expose yourself to them." In other words, be the light. Because we will be exposed to them. We're living in a world where most people don't even know who Christ is. It's an unregenerated world with an unregenerated mind. So we're living of it, but we're not part of it. We're living in it. So rather be a light of hope We sang that. A light to show something different. The church to be, have an impact in the world as it, as Christ has intended to it. Yes, there will always be people that will reject Him. We know that. But there's a whole lot of people that are looking to see that we're living lives that are changed and transformed. Amen? So what does a transformed life look like? Well, you can go all through this and you'll find what that is. You'll find incredible examples of people who are living those transformed life. But because I want to at least give you some little handles to take, we're going to read out of the book of Colossians 3 right now. So if you can go to Colossians 3, there's 10 points that I see that if we begin to do those things, we'll see some changes in our lives. You know, yes, God could do it like that, but my experience is with most people that I know, it's a progressive thing. And it begins by just beginning to say yes to the things of God and no to the things of this world. That little by little, our mind becomes renewed and we see changes taking place in our lives. And again, we take in, we eat, we partake of the Word. So if you're there, we'll pick it up on in verse number 1. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So number 1, set your hearts on Christ. If you begin to set your hearts on Christ, part of Him who lives in us will begin to take root in us. And you'll begin to see changes in your lives. Verse 2 says, "Set your minds above, not on earthly things." And I've just gone over quite lengthily about the importance of that. The second thing is then to set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. When you feel that you're going to act in a different way, just speak God's truth over you. Remind yourself of who you are as a son and a daughter in Christ. Verse 3, "For you died with your life." For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Then it says, "Put to death," and that's point number 3, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." So whatever belongs to your earthly nature, put it aside. You know the things in your life that are not useful. Put them aside. Walk away from them. Make those changes. Make those adjustments. Verse 6, "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived. But now you must get rid of them and all such things such as these: anger, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on your new self." That's point number 4. Put on the new self. Declare who God has made you and what you are in Christ, which is being renewed in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and or free, but Christ is all, and all is all. Christ is all and is in all. Then in verse 4 it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." That's point number 4. Clothe yourself with those things, with compassion. You know, those things are not possible unless our minds are renewed, because our human mind, our unregenerated mind, will not allow us to have compassion or kindness or be humble and gentle and patient. It will be the opposite of that. That's only possible. Those things are only possible when we allow God's Word to change us and renew our mind. Point 6, verse 13, it says that we are to bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. You know, a lot of times we find people are unbearable, but this encourages to bear with each other and forgive one another. And again, it's the same thing. In our humanness, this is not possible. We can only do this because of a renewed mind. Point number 7. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these things, put on love. And that's point number 7. Put on love. A number of weeks ago, Janine spoke about 1 Corinthians 13, and she gave out that sheet, which are, you know, all the things that love is. And many of you took that sheet, and you prayed that, and you've spoken that over you over a month. And that's what you need to do, because to love in that way is only possible if our minds have been renewed and we've become transformed. Point number 8. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. We need to let the peace, God's peace, be with us in every circumstance, in every situation. I know many of you are going through difficult times. And it's in those times that we need to remember that. Louise reminded us at prayer about who Christ is. He's our peace. So in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, however difficult it may be, just say, Jesus, I thank you that you are my peace. That comes from a renewed mind. Point number 9. It goes on to say, and be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart. So let the word of Christ dwell richly in us, because it's only with his word in us. If your word is not in you, if you're not spending time knowing his word, and in him and listening to his voice, you're going to continue to struggle in those areas that you're struggling in. And last and not least, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in whatever you do, remember to thank him. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank you that he sits there, cheering us on and encouraging us to become the men and women that he's called us to be. So tell me, I'm just going to conclude now. What's better? Struggling through life in indecision, frustration, doubt, confusion, in unfulfillment, lacking passion or purpose? Or would you rather take a leap of faith, taking God at his word, and listening to the small, still voice in your heart saying, come on, my son. Come on, my daughter. Trust in me. So often when we struggle, it's because of a lack of faith. We don't know God. We don't know his word. And so we begin to doubt. But Lord is saying, take that leap of faith. Trust in me. When you know what he will do for you, it's encouraging and you're prone to do it over. And the more you do it, the more you know that you can trust in him. And look at your life and see, we all have baggage that we've carried and things that we're still hanging on to. And we need to make a decision to put those things aside. And we've read the scriptures, we've heard the scriptures before. And if you ask God, I want to encourage you, just go before the Lord. And if you're not sure what they are, just go before and ask him what those things are. And be free from those. Walk away from those things that are taking you away from him. Because remember, as Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. And I want to encourage you again just to choose to believe and come before the Lord and say, "Here I am, Lord. And as an act of my free will, I will put my life in your hands because I trust you. And even when I get nervous and feel like it was better before in my Egypt," you've heard that one before, "I will remind myself that your promises are yes and amen, that you are with me always, that you've got my back, you're faithful, you know what's good for me, even when I feel like I'm walking through the darkest valley. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff comfort me." So today, I want to challenge you to make a decision to live a transformed life, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.